Hello, 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 beautiful people. How are you all doing? Hope you've been well. Hope you have been keeping safe. I'm super excited that you're here again today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for listening to my previous episodes as well. I really do appreciate the feedback and also your time that you keep taking out to listen. I really do appreciate it. Okay, so we're just going to jump right in. Today's episode is going to be about the diagnosis and the treatment for sickle cell disease. So for a baby to be at risk of having sickle cell disease, both mom and dad would be carriers of the sickle cell gene. And in the UK, as I mentioned previously, we have an antenatal screening program. So the abnormal hemoglobin would have been picked up antenatally, so that's from mom. And when this is picked up, partner testing is offered. So they offer testing of the baby's father. Yeah, the baby's father, the partner. You know what I mean. So this helps determine the risks of the baby having sickle cell disease. Remember I mentioned with every pregnancy the mother carries, it's a 1 in 4 chance or a 25% chance that the baby could pick up the S from mommy and the S from daddy, and that results in a type of sickle cell disease. Okay, so as mentioned previously, the newborn screening is offered to all babies who are born within the UK. And I mentioned other places that are offering the national screening program. So this is also picked up quite earlier on if the baby is affected with sickle cell disease through the newborn blood spot test, which is done ideally at day 5, but it's extended to day 8. So the type of sickle cell disease that a baby could inherit would be determined by the type of abnormal genes the parents carry. So for example, if the mother is a carrier of the sickle hemoglobin, so she's AS, and the father is a carrier of the hemoglobin C, which is AC. Again, this carries a 25% chance that the baby could pick up the S from mum and the C from daddy, and this results in HBSC, which is a type of sickle cell disease. And I mentioned in one of my previous episodes, I believe it's the hemoglobins. What are those? That episode, I explained what an unusual hemoglobin is. The other type of sickle cell disease that is most common is hemoglobin S beta thalassemia. So this is inherited if one of the parents, so if, for example, the mother is a carrier of the S hemoglobin, so she's a carrier of the sickle hemoglobin, and the dad is a carrier of the beta thalassemia gene. Again, a 1 in 4 chance that the baby could pick up the S from mommy, the beta thalassemia from dad, and this results in sickle cell beta thalassemia 0. So with sickle cell beta thalassemia, it is important to be aware of the type of thalassemia that has been inherited. So as I mentioned a few seconds ago, you have sickle cell beta thalassemia 0, and there is also sickle cell beta thalassemia plus. Now with the 0, this tends to have a more severe clinical picture and presentation in comparison with sickle cell beta thalassemia plus. So in one of my previous episodes, I mentioned about the different types of thalassemia. So this would help you understand the reasons why sickle beta thalassemia 0 has a more severe clinical picture than that of sickle beta thalassemia plus. So please feel free to scroll back and listen to that episode. So there are other types of sickle cell diseases that an individual could have, but they are not as common, and also their clinical picture are not as severe as the ones I've just mentioned. So the ones that are common and the ones that you may come across are HBSS, which is sickle cell anemia, HBSC, sickle cell disease, and also sickle beta thalassemia 0. So the other types of sickle hemoglobin that are not as common, but that an individual could have, are sickle hemoglobin D. Again, with the D, there are different types. So it's important to know if the actual D hemoglobin has been mutated. Now, I'm not going to go into that because that might just, you know, blow everybody's hats off. But when a child or an individual has sickle hemoglobin D, it's important, of course, monitor the child to see how they present. But sometimes there are certain mutations that could be a moderate to severe clinical presentation. So we have sickle hemoglobin D, there's sickle hemoglobin E, and we also have something called sickle hemoglobin O Arab. I'm just going to leave that there. But of course, please feel free to research and look into this, because I find it quite interesting and I can kind of talk about this from now till midnight. But I think it's important, if you are interested in these unusual hemoglobins, you can look it up and read about them. And sometimes I also wonder that, because of the lack of awareness of the different types of sickle hemoglobin, that also contributes to the stigmas that are attached to these conditions. And especially if one doesn't understand that it's a 1 in 4 chance that a child could inherit the sickle cell disease, the stigma of that child being a cursed child, a devil child, comes in. Because in certain parts of Africa, you know, the awareness is not enough. So if, for example, a couple has a baby, and because they haven't picked up that this baby has sickle cell disease, the baby dies from the complications of sickle cell disease, then they have another one, the baby dies again because they didn't go through any type of screening. And this tends to place a stigma on that family. And you would hear words like Obanje, you know, they label the child as a witch child and or a witch family, you know. So these are where all the stigmas tend to arise from. And I'm hoping to do an episode on the taboos, on the stigmas, on the myths that surround these conditions, so that we can start to demystify and break those stigmas. Because this would, of course, raise awareness and also help those who are going through this day in and day out. So if an individual or a child was not born in this country, or they're not in a country that offers the national screening program to test for various conditions, including unusual hemoglobins, sickle cell disease could be diagnosed through a blood test. So a blood test is obtained from the individual, and they run an electrophoresis test or a genotype test, and this will determine if this individual has a result that is consistent with sickle cell disease. With all that being said, I strongly advocate for preconceptual screening. And this is well before you get married or well before you get pregnant. So you are aware of the genes that you are carrying, and that way you can make an informed choice before having children. So one of the methods I've just mentioned to diagnose sickle cell disease is through the newborn screening program via the newborn blood spot tests, which picks up the sickle genes. The other way that sickle cell could be diagnosed is through prenatal diagnosis. So I mentioned this in my previous episode, and this is a procedure that is done antenatally. So again, they take a sample of either the amniotic fluid or the placenta tissue. They run DNA testing on this, and this could pick up if the baby has sickle cell disease. It could be picked up through a blood test. So a blood test is run, a blood sample, sorry, is obtained from the individual, and they also run an electrophoresis test or a genotype test, which would pick up any unusual or abnormal hemoglobin. So this can pick up individuals who have sickle cell disease. And this tends to be the method of testing if an individual did not go through the screening program. So the treatments for sickle cell disease include the standard penicillin and folic acid. Now, if the child or the individual starts to have complications with either their spleen or they've picked up that they're at a high risk of stroke through a ultrasound of their the veins, blood, the blood vessels in their brain, then they start on a blood transfusion program to reduce the risks of a stroke. So another type of treatment that is available for individuals with sickle cell disease is a medication called hydroxycarbamide. And we're going to be talking more in depth about the different types of medication that can improve the overall quality of life of those with sickle cell disease. So again, a cure for sickle cell disease includes a bone marrow transplant or a stem cell transplant, which I mentioned in my previous episode. Of course, the main issue with these procedures are finding a donor, because the closer the donor, the better the acceptance of those donated cells. But yes, bone marrow transplant can cure sickle cell disease. But again, as I mentioned in the previous episode, that although you are cured from this condition, you are only cured from the symptoms. So that individual can still pass on their sickle gene down to their children. Okay, so we've come to the end of another episode. I hope you now have a better understanding of the different types of sickle cell disease and also some of the ways that it is diagnosed and treated. We are going to be explaining more about some of the treatments that I mentioned within this episode. So until next time, you look after yourselves and I'll see you all soon. Take care. Bye.